Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Join us now in the mythical city of Ashburton. David Slack's with us. Good morning, David.
Morning, Mikey. This is beautiful, this studio. I haven't been in here since you made it all fancy.
Well, you know, we wanted a radio station that's up with the times, that is colourful, bright, and inspiring.
Am I missing something here?
We're having a joke.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're just saying how it's exactly the same as it was every other time.
Right.
And Mary Margaret was on the FaceTime just then, and we were going, look what we've done to the studio. And she was like, it's exactly the same.
Anyway. She said she actually made a comment before she came into the studio saying, I can almost smell it. I don't know what that means.
I do.
Okay.
Yep.
I presume in your life...
When Shadows is open, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Have you been to... You must have been to the George FM studios from time to time.
Yeah, a couple of times, yeah.
I haven't been in
not
there.
Recently,
well, actually, are they even still on Ponsonby Road? Those ones, anyway. That smells like Shadows.
Yeah, they've got bars underneath as well.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Like, you know, your jand will stick to the floor as you walk
in. There must be a river of old urine and booze that runs under Ponsonby Road.
Yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah.
Yep.
And down somewhere Freeman's Bay around there. And
anyway, politics, eh?
Politics. Guns.
Yes.
Bring your guns. Hand in your guns. Your guns are not welcome in our country anymore. Big, bad guns.
More roses, less guns, please.
Yeah. Rushed, David, an inspiration to the rest of the world and a template, in fact, for how other countries should get up and into it.
Necessarily rushed and a template for how other countries could do it. And, of course, as Australia did it in the 90s, you know, I was kind of, and I'm sure I wasn't the only one, kind of surprised that we hadn't emulated them then.
Mm. I was going to say, not soon enough, really.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Could have been beforehand.
Yeah. I was talking to Grant Robertson about it yesterday, and I sort of said, you know, there's obviously two sides to it, and gun owners aren't very happy about it, certain gun owners, but the argument's just so weak.
Oh, it is.
I really need them,
A mate of mine who's a keen shooter, gets out into the hills plenty.
Shoots those guns.
Yeah, was describing some friends who were demonstrating some particular piece of kit to him a couple of months ago that was just so elaborate. You could, I forget the exact details, but it was something like a mile away. You could see you could see a deer and take it out. And he said, at that point, that's not sport. You know, and they would set it up on a tripod and click, 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 and just bring it in to exactly sighted. And so the deer has absolutely...
This beautiful beast that's
deer has
its
no
life.
Idea that there's anything happening anywhere. You know, so there's no kind of man against nature sport going on here. It just means you've been a very effective shopper. You really read your catalogues.
Yeah.
Good on
you.
Yeah. And if you've ever wondered what people do when they're not on a jet ski screwing up your afternoon at the beach, that's what they are.
Oh, they're presumptuous.
The old David Seymour situation when the laws were being passed. What would have happened had he not?
Only
been busy.
It would not have delayed things all that much. It would have taken it that much longer. But and maybe it might have been advantageous for the lobby that's trying to sow doubt. Every extra day you can get is a bit.
Are you talking about local lobbies or international lobbies? Because there's both.
Yeah, that's right.
Freaky how. Like, I also mentioned that to Grant Robertson as well. I read the Al Jazeera undercover Australia thing that just happened to play out. You know, with the One Nation Party and all that sort of stuff. For people who don't know, they basically just the NRA, the National Rifle Association of America, came in hard, and lots of money and lots of influence into Australia to try and sway them.
They always have
in
the
a different
money.
Direction, and they're apparently, by all accounts, trying to do it here, but we're moving way too fast for them. You know, before they can send message back to the homeland.
And there is an argument that says if you go that fast, you're somehow disenfranchising the nation. this is true and not true. Mm. You know, the concept of the way Parliament works is if it wants to, Parliament can do things very fast indeed. Mm. And then there is accountability at the next election. What we have in practice is a way more scrutiny through select committees, but that is not in fact something that we have had forever. This was created in the wake of the Muldoon government that happily did this stuff all the time. Legislation with scant recourse to the nation. So
with bonus extra legislation on top of surprise legislations.
That's right. In the middle of the night, at highest speed, under urgency, at 3 p.m. So, you know, we actually have a much better system for scrutinising legislation now. And yes, in this instance, it's not being scrutinised at the extent, to the extent and over the length of time it normally is. And there is no secret about this. They're not doing this under cover of darkness. They're making it quite clear that they need to act now because if you do wait, you will get potentially the same thing that happened over the last 7 or 8 years, which is by attrition, the lobby just wears you down so that you get nothing. And you end up with a scenario we've just been presented with this year, which is here's a dude looks around, says, "Where can I commit this act of monstrosity?"
And how can I do it without attracting too much attention? Well, these are legal, these are fine. No one's going to go, "Hey, what have you got that?"
How can I get the weapons to do this? Oh, well, I can't do it here in Australia. They've changed the law.
Yeah.
I'll have to go to New Zealand. Looks like I can do it over there. Oh, hello, yes, I can.
Yeah.
So that's why it happened, and the intent of this legislation is to remove that possibility. Now, there's one other thing that needs saying about this, and I really recommend kiwipolitico.com. Lou on there is a guy who knows his guns, but he's also a staunch advocate for making this change anyway. And what he says about the specific thing, the one thing that the lobby have latched onto that is a kind of a point, is this. They say that you talk about things like sites and butts and stocks that are interchangeable, and therefore you might be in possession of such things, and that makes you a criminal even though you're not one.
Mm.
And he's saying what you need to do is change the wording of the law a bit so that it makes it clear that it's you don't identify all of these particular items. You say you cannot have an item like that if its purpose can be to add firepower to your weapon.
Yeah. Now, is that the sort of thing that they're going to be doing today? They're taking
exactly
submissions today.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It is. You know, it's not as though they're not listening.
Yeah. Today's the day for public to submit, even though there's only like about 30 people who are going to be able to submit or something like that. But today's the day that sort of thing's going to be brought up. And I guess as well, tweaking, you can tweak after the fact, can't you?
Of course you can. That's right. And the thing won't actually come into effect for some months, so you can still be working on that as you roll along. So
wonder how many of them are going to come out of the woodwork, these big show pony guns.
Well, you know, like my mate was saying, all of these guys are out there with their fancy kit. There's a lot of people just fetishize this stuff.
Mm.
Judging again here, Mikey.
No apologies.
No,
I'm just thinking people know
what's
doing,
wrong with you. What's wrong with you guys? Just do it like Mikey does. Go and get a shitload of fireworks.
I mean, that's true. You know, all above board. The type of guns that's coming in though, they're expensive to buy. Some of them. How do they? Have we sort of? Has that come up? How they're going to? Like, if they're going to buy them back.
Yeah, the cost
of
it. At
what rate? And do you have to keep your receipts? Because, you can't just sort of go, "Oh, I got these ones for 10, 15 grand.
There was a debate.
Oh, sorry, you're in a gang, eh? You'd be hanging on to yours then, I see. Yeah, sure.
Maybe we'll come back to that in a second. There was a debate with Winston Peters on Morning Report earlier this week on that very point, and he was suggesting that it's going to cost more because nobody really knows for sure, and so figures of maybe 100 million, maybe 300 million had been suggested by officials.
Sure, look, default price, wouldn't you? And then if you keep the receipt, then we'll give you that. Or 10% off.
What are 50 lives worth, eh?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, and you know, you've look at the, well, you might have to just give it back and get the money back. Like you say, the jet ski analogy is quite good there.
Stuck in.
So tell us about gangs. You're something we'll talk about gangs.
Join a gang. There does seem to be a sort of enthusiasm to jump in and give them a kicking because they've said they won't return their weapons. I think maybe we should wait and see if
it's a bit clickbaity, isn't it?
When push comes to shove.
Yeah, I feel like everyone's sort of jumped on that, and that's kind of not really.
Yeah, we've had our 2 weeks of really serious deep journalism.
The other thing is that it's only some of these guns that have been banned, not all of them. And so it's like, how many?
That's also presumptuous that
they're all in possession of those particular guns that have been banned.
Good point. If you consider the occasional random violent drive-by shootings that happen within gang stories, that tends not to be that kind of weapon.
Exactly. So, I mean, the amount of weapons that have been banned that they...
On the other hand, I wouldn't want to guess that you won't find anything
behind closed doors. Now, should we talk about China?
By all means.
The Prime Minister went to China after we'd been told we weren't welcome there.
Yeah.
That we had lost that we'd lost our privilege. And then suddenly she's over there with full honours and announced two big important meetings and got a bit done and even brought up human rights. What the hey?
Actually, now there's a point. I don't know how far she went on the human rights thing.
She did bring it up though. She bring up the I can't remember how do you pronounce it properly, the Muslims, is it Ergen? Ergen? Is that how you say it? Ergen Muslims?
To be honest, Mikey, that's why I phrased my question just then. The way I did.
let the listeners know that. I believe that she did bring that up, which in the time frame she was there.
Yeah,
I thought was pretty good. As I asked Grant Robinson yesterday, is that what our government does now? Do we make sure with our new people policy?
She's quite adept at that. Confronting people without making it contentious, but nonetheless showing determination. So I would guess she did it in a worthwhile way. It was interesting that the official statement used that word about trust
straight off the first sentence, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that is an enduring tension we've got here. That you've got what is one of the surging economies of the world, one of the largest, and it is a kind of a police state.
Kind of is.
To say it is problematic is to say the least of it. But you got to work with that. So I don't know that we can do all that much, but we can certainly try and be a voice for the voice of the Western democratic conscience, and she appears to have done that. You've got to be talking endlessly and seeing where you can go. But you've also got to give them their due. It's one point four billion
50
people,
quazillion.
And somehow you're supposed to hold all of that together. Maybe the way they go about it is invidious to our eyes, but maybe that is a means to an end. I don't know. Where are they in 10 and 15 and 30 years?
But I think it's good that we bring it to the table. Anyway, I think, you know.
I mean, yeah, obviously we would like to see them different in that way. I don't know. I'm certainly not nearly well enough informed to be able to predict what's going to happen there, but we would prefer that they become...
You're being really careful about what you say here.
Yeah, I know.
Come on, David, get in there. David Slack, isn't it? Where's David Slack from?
I'm going to Beijing next week, Mikey. What am I supposed
to say?
No, I'm not.
I was wondering about the Huawei thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's going, oh, yeah, they're going to come spy on us. Maybe our other Five Eyes, you know, secret friends in the secret club will all be going, get in there, New Zealand. Come back and tell us what you saw.
That's worth bearing in mind, too, that, you know.
They're the biggest embassy of all the international embassies in China. Do you know that? In New Zealand?
Is that right?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Actually, tangentially, do you know the embassy in Suva has a swimming pool the shape of a kiwi?
Choice. People need to start shaping their swimming pools more. My friend's got one called that we call the Lomu. Can you guess what shape that is?
Well, I'm guessing
kidney.
It's very tall.
Kidney. That bad taste. Anyway, so that's happened. She's done that. I want to ask you, and I know that I've been heaping praise upon the Prime Minister pretty much nonstop since all the time actually, but specifically in the last couple of weeks. You, as having worked in the upper echelons of the Labour Party before, and been a Prime Ministerial speechwriter, all that, so you've seen how that job rolls.
Mm.
What's your perception of how impressed have you been with the way that our Prime Minister has done what she's done, in the situation that she's been presented with?
Bloody.
Bloody, eh?
Yeah. Russell Brown said something really good in the middle of that, which is occasionally, in the day-to-day stuff, she can actually look a bit average occasionally. But when...
She's a politician.
But when this kind of thing happens, she is surpassingly great. Mm. And I think that's the truth of it, And I think it's principally because of how she knows how to deal with people. And I've seen her do that in many different forums and in many different ways. And I think she is the most constructive, most positive and warmest of people to engage. But she also does it with a certainty of purpose.
Yeah.
So that she's not just being nice to everybody. She knows how to constructively carry us in the right direction. Also, she found the words to say what needed to be said to reassure people at a moment when we all just gasped. You that kind of thing happens, and you're apart from anything else, you're utterly dismayed. You're thinking, God, what the hell are we supposed to make of this? And she found the words to say, right, okay, there's this, but there remains this.
But what I sort of see is, and maybe I'm I'm blinded by optimism and the thrill of everyone, the unity of everyone, but I kind of see a ripple effect to those surrounding her the political melee there as well. I think you can almost visibly see Simon Bridges pick his game up. suddenly, there may be a realization that just being nasty and just being snide or patronizing or something like that, and I'm not just saying just Simon Bridges, but also, her. Yeah, the fact that our Prime Minister able to do that, but the people around her, second in command, third, and all that, those levels down, all seem to be, did an amazing job.
Yeah, that's right. It does create that sense that, that shit I was doing just doesn't sit here.
Yeah.
And that's a really, really advantageous change. I don't know how long it can endure, and that's why we were talking
about it. But inspiration's a good thing.
You bet it is. You bet it is.
And looking forward to the next couple of weeks. Is there some politics we haven't caught up on that's been lost in amongst all this that's going to come to the fore, do you think? Do you remember what was going on before this? It's funny how things get sidelined.
I suspect
you didn't have to answer that question.
No, if Phil Twyford were in the room now, he'd say, don't tell him to talk about sport.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
Thank you, David.